The children are now dismissed to children's church. And while you are dismissing and all the children are getting out of here, let's give it up for the worship band, right? So if you're a guest this morning, man, did you choose a great day to come? This is DNOW weekend. It's the one weekend of the year that we do. We commit to our students and we have this amazing time of Bible study and fellowship and worship. And today just so happens to be that day. And so if you can't figure it out, we had a war theme. It was all about going to war and fighting a battle. And so we got some people that we want to thank before we kind of move on. If you're a teenager, though, I would just go ahead and tell you, sit all the way up right now. Just go ahead and sit all the way up. No heads in the back of the chairs, because you're going to fall asleep if you do that. And I don't want to pick on you. Okay? If I see you falling asleep, I'm coming down there. And we're all going to get close together. Okay, and I'm going to say something. So adults, don't fall asleep today, okay? Now, I know I'm preaching and all, but still. But we want to thank some people, okay? So we want to make sure that we already thanked the band. We got a bunch of adults that were involved in the weekend. I'm not going to make them stand up, but just know that there were a ton of adults that kind of helped out this weekend. And so if you're a part of that, if you helped in some way or the other, thank you so much. We had some adults involved in this weekend that are like the unsung heroes, you know, the people that you never see. Those are the people that like made desserts and provided snacks and helped do things like that. So if you're one of those people, thank you so much. Kids ate brownies and cookies until their heart content. I mean, they ate and ate and ate and are still eating. Like even probably right now they're digging cookies out of like out of their pockets, you know, and like, you know, to stay awake. But thank you so much if you did that. Also, we had some pretty incredible small group leaders. Let's give them a hand. They were awesome. I will make them stand up. So if you were a small group leader, I needed to stand up. I will make them stand up. So we can see those people. Come on, Molly. All right. So anyway, so we had a ton of people. Thanks to Steve for letting us take over the gym. Thanks, Jill and Adventure Club, for being so flexible and easy with us this week as we were crazy in here, and all the children were great by moving around. And this stuff, like, it takes a lot of people and a lot of time. And so it's a huge weekend for the glory of the Lord. You know, we had a couple other people I want to thank. Haley Lowe took pictures and videos. She's the one that created that up there. So let's give her a hand. And then also, we had a great little helper named Bailey over here, and she was a great gopher. She went and got things, and so it was super to see her be a part of the weekend and help out. So let's give Bailey a hand, too. Thanks. All right. I want to know, though, so the weekend we talked, I wasn't the speaker this weekend. We had a guy, there's a couple of paintings down here. Here's one right here that the speaker painted. And then I'm not going to paint anything for you because I can't paint. You can ask my wife. I can't do that. That's why she does that stuff. And this is the other one that he did. But his name was Tim Bertram. He couldn't be here with us this morning because he had to go back to his church in Paducah. But this whole weekend was centered around fighting, and our curriculum was about fighting for our faith and this war and all these things that are going on. And I wonder, what is it about a fight that we like? What is it about a fight that we like, you know? Let's be honest. If you're honest, you like a good fight. Am I right? Do you like a good fight? Yeah! Okay, so, I mean, this is Simpsonville. Like, Muhammad Ali. Like, you don't like a good fight? That's not true. You love a good fight. Don't lie. If you're honest and you're sitting in this room, you know you like a good fight, okay? If you're married, you know you like a good fight. Don't you try to lie to me. There's some days where you walk in and you're like, oh, you, me, I took a weave off. That's right, I did. I took my wig off. Let's go. Me and you, right? You like a good fight. Just be honest. If you're married in this room, you know what I'm talking about. There are days where it's like, you. Now. Especially if you got kids. You got kids? Oh, you wait. You. wait till we get home, me and you, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Parents, come on, be serious for a second, right? You like a good fight because you like a good fight. If you're in a relationship, there are days where you get that. There's always a good fight every now and then, right? You got to kind of let out some something. I don't know what that is. Anybody know what that is? Like, you know, maybe you're one of these couples. We never fight. We put that behind us 30 years ago. Everything in our house is pristine. It's perfect. Our relationship, no waves. We're just perfect, John. And then everybody else who likes to fight's like, liar. And then you want to like throat punch those people, right? You're like, that's not true or whatever. And then there's people who are like, no, really, we are. But maybe you get that. You're a teenager. You get that. You like seeing a good fight. Don't lie to me and don't lie to everybody else in the room. A fight breaks out at school. What do? Get the phone out. And then you get called to the principal's office. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you stop the fight? Either you get in trouble for videoing it or something like that. But everybody does that, right? You see a fight. What do people do? Pull out their phones. Everybody likes to see a good fight. Maybe you watch YouTube videos on people fighting. Maybe you like boxing matches. Maybe you like MMA fights, where Conor McGregor fights a cowboy and knocks him out in 40 seconds last night. I don't know. You pay all that money for a fight, and then it's over just like that. That's kind of stinky. I used to grow up like watching Mike Tyson fight on TV, which was like the most epic thing ever. When he would come on TV, it was like the world stopped for a few minutes just to watch Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield. And the infamous, you know, biting of the ear, you know, and all that. Anybody remember that, you know? Oh, my gosh, it was the best thing in the world. You're like, oh, I can't believe it. And we talked about fight, and everybody talked about it. And they still talk about it. I don't even know when that was. And we're still talking about it today, right? Everybody loves a good fight, right? You love to watch a good wrestling match, you know, especially in our youth group, our boys. We kind of like to wrestle a little bit. And we love to watch a good wrestling match, right? I mean, you know, sit up. I'm not going to tell you again, sit up. Hey, look, I'm going to treat y'all. We treat your kids right, okay? If you come to this youth group, look, I'm just like you. Like, it takes a tribe, okay? So you see my kid, you sit up, okay? Anyway, so we like that. We got some big football games today, right? The NFC championships, the AFC championship, right? Go Titans, go Chiefs, go 49ers, go Packers, yeah, go, whatever, right? Whoever you cheer for, you like to see a good battle. You like to see a good fight. It's just something that's kind of within you. You love to see a good fight. And I wonder why that is. See, there's this one time in high school I saw a good fight. I saw a real good fight. You guys ever seen good fights in high school? I know, John, there's no such thing as a good fight, okay? I get it. You ever seen a good fight in high school? Because I saw a really good fight in high school one time. This is when, you know, you still had, like, break, and you could go to the vending machine where there were actually snacks, and you could go to the Coke machine, and there were actual Cokes and, you know, Mountain Dews and Pepsi, and it wasn't like, oh, here's a water or a fruit juice. That's what you can have for snack today. Here is a whole grain goldfish. Thank you. Okay, I want a Snickers bar, right? Everybody gets hungry and hangry and all that. I'm like, you know, so it was break time at school, and all of a sudden we're standing there, you know, and this girl starts screaming at this other girl, so it's a girl fight, you know, so of course all the guys are like, Two girls fighting, and they pick their heads up and like, oh, it's going down, okay? And all of a sudden the circle forms around the two people. You know, and the girls are jawing back at each other, you know, yeah. And one of them swings at the other one, dodges it, you know, like, whoo, I don't think so, girl. Oh, you didn't do that to me. You know, and then they start jawing, and this girl rears back and takes her purse, and she just, boosh. I mean, she hits this girl and almost smooth knocks her out, her purse. And so they go to fighting, and here come all the disciplinarians. They come running in here, you know, and they're like, break it up, you know, and she swings again and hits one of the disciplinarians, poof, right in his face. And he's like, don't hit the kid, you know. But here's what was crazy. The purse that the girl hit the other girl with had canned goods inside there. Look, I'm not judging, okay? I mean, look, she had a couple cans of green beans in her bag, you know, if she wanted a little can opener, you know. This is before the flip lid thing, okay? So you had to have a can opener open up. I'm not judging, but we had a canned food drive at school that day. And so it was in the morning time, and so she hadn't had opportunity to drop her canned goods off, and she smacked that girl. I mean, just boom. And then she swung around when that disciplinarian came in and tried to get, and it was a full swing. I mean, it was, he was coming behind her, and she just, shoo. I mean, and he was, you know, a couple canned goods. I don't know if you've ever been hit in the face with canned goods, because I haven't. But I can imagine it didn't feel good. I can imagine it probably dazed him just a little bit. But, you know, that's the thing. There's this fight that's going on, and sometimes when it's fighting and when you're fighting, sometimes there's these moments where people don't play fair and people play dirty, and sometimes it's you're fighting and maybe you've been in a fight and you just had to do what you had to do to get out of the fight, or you had to do what you had to do to win the fight, right? And so this girl was like, hey, I'm going to win this fight. I'm going to smack her in the face with this purse full of canned goods, and I'm going to win. And I would say that that's fighting dirty, but she's saying, hey, I won, because that girl showing up, I mean, she was clobbered, right? But in our own life, I wonder at what point are we fighting, what kind of battle are we fighting, and what are we doing to make sure that we win this battle, and what have we done, and what are we doing? Because the devil's playing dirty. Are y'all on the same page as me? The devil is playing dirty. He's got canned goods in his bag, and he's just smacking you around. And that's the truth. Some of you are like, yeah, I get hit in the all the time. Okay, but the truth is, somebody here is fighting dirty, and it's not us. And see, all weekend long, we've been talking about fighting this battle, fighting for our faith, right? Because honestly, we are in a war against sin. We are in a war against Satan and his little demons, right? We're in a war over that deal. We're in a war of trying to make the right decision. Honestly, we're in a war fighting ourselves and fighting that temptation within us, right? Sit up. Last time. And we're in this battle to make right choices. And so we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And we're going to look at Paul's last letter. This is his last hurrah, the coup de grace. This is the last one. This is his last war cry right here. And he's writing to Timothy. So we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And we're going to read this passage. So if you'll follow along, hopefully you brought your Bible. Starting in verse 1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will all accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Let's pray. Father God, you are Lord of all, and we pray, Jesus, that you would speak to us this morning, that we would be a people that seek after you, that we would be a people that put you first. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So Paul is coming in hot on this chapter right here. He's given Timothy everything he's got at this point. Look, my man, I'm leaving. I'm not coming back. So here are the things that I need you to know. Y'all ever had that conversation with somebody? I need you to know these things. My grandfather died just a few years ago, and there was a moment where I went to his house in Gardendale, and we sat down beside his bed, and I said some things that we needed to say. There were things that I was never, ever going to get another opportunity to say to him. And I wanted to make sure that at all costs, I was telling him everything that I needed to say so that he could hear the words coming out of my mouth. I love you. And so many other things that we needed to talk about. And Paul is saying this to Timothy, I love you, and let me tell you some things before I pass on, because my time is near, my time is now. I am literally writing to you from a dungeonous prison somewhere that you don't know I am. And he's writing this letter, right? Can you imagine getting this letter? Like, if you're Timothy, could you imagine getting this letter? Like, as you read it, just weeping over these words, like your mentor, the one who has literally taken stones for you. And there's moments in our life we have to fight, and this is a war that we're in, right? And so literally Paul comes in and he says, hey, right off the gate, verse 2, preach the word. You preach the word. You be ready in season and out of season. You be ready whenever the time comes to preach the word. Do not shy away from that, right? He's telling him, he's like, look, man, you preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season to reprove, rebuke, and exhort. And the best part of this whole line is with complete patience in teaching. Do you ever get frustrated when you tell somebody about Jesus? Maybe there's somebody that you're like really close to, someone in your family, someone in your so-and-so, maybe it's a friend or whatever, and you've told them about Jesus, and you've told them about Jesus, and you get frustrated. Anybody understand that feeling of, I'm frustrated because they won't make a decision, right? Right? You got kids, right? It's that way sometimes in the student ministry, like, you know, you talk, and it's like, hey, what do we do with our so-and-sos? Where do I put my luggage, John? Well, we talked about that already. What do I do about my relationship with Jesus? Are you serious? We've talked about this before. Well, what does it mean to be a Christian? Are you serious? We've talked about this before. What do you mean? And as you witness to people, you get this frustration that kind of builds up in your soul. But what Paul is saying is, hey, look, be patient with people, because Lord knows he was patient with me, right? Lord knows he's patient with you, right? I mean, it doesn't mean just because, you know, you're here today that you're even a believer, but, you know, maybe you're seeking, maybe you're trying to figure this thing out. Maybe your process, it wasn't, I got saved at 5 years old and I've been living for the Lord since then. Maybe you're here and you're 36 years old and you don't know who Jesus is, and you're here and you're like, why don't I, we're patient with you, it's okay. Because in the Lord's time, you will come. I'm gonna say that again, in the Lord's time, you will come. And as you witness to people and as you tell people about Christ, you need to know it's not about you. And you need to know that when he's ready, he's going to make it happen. Okay? There's folks that still get saved at 80 and 90 years old. Y'all know that, right? I mean, the Lord is in the saving business, right? I mean, that's what he does. And thank God that's his work and not my work. He's the one that brings the forgiveness and the grace and the mercy, not me. But I have to be patient. So as a believer, he's telling Timothy, hey, you need to be patient with here. So preach the word in season and out season. You be ready, but listen, you be patient. Y'all know that's one of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, right? And that's the one thing that we always just kind of forget about. Love, joy, peace, patience. We just kind of like skim of that. Harper's learning her ABCs and working that. And she goes, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, I don't know, man, QRSTV. We just kind of skim over that one little thing. She skims over, I don't know, because it's like she can't get that right. And sometimes we can't get that right, right? That whole patience deal. Hey, be patient with each other. Because here's the truth. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Is the Lord done with you yet? The answer is no. Until he calls you home, you're not done, right? So we're still a work, being worked on by the Lord. And as we are trying to work on other people, as the Lord gets us to work, we have to remember we're not done. We're unfinished as well. So we've got to be patient in that matter. And so he's telling them, saying, hey, look, you be patient as you teach these people. You work through this. You be ready to preach the gospel to these people, right? And so he says this, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Hey, listen, teenagers, there's a time coming where people will, they won't endure sound teaching. And what that means is, they're not going to listen to what you have to say. They don't care what you have to say about what God did at D-Now. They don't care. They don't want to listen to what you got to say about what God did this weekend. Adult, they don't care. They don't want to hear what you got to say about how God changed your life. There are days where people will not endure sound teaching. They will find people that tell them what they want to hear. That's the people that are like, no, no, no. It's all about me, myself, and Irene, right? It's all about me, myself, and I. It's all about me, myself, nobody else, just me. And they want to know what suits them, what fits them, what makes them feel good, what makes them feel happy, what makes them feel right. Well, we don't talk about those things because those are uncomfortable things, so I don't want to talk about that because it's uncomfortable. So what? We serve a God who is going to get in your face. We serve a God who got rowdy and tossed temple tables in the temple. We're going to get rowdy up in here. Okay, I know a lot of people are like, well, yeah, you don't have to be a jerk about it or whatever. Well, I get that. But, you know, I mean, if you look at Jesus, he was just straightforward in your face. He told them like it was, hey, you brood of vipers, you stiff-necked people, right? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. That means if you don't know me, you're going to hell. That's what that means. That's what that means, right? And so Jesus told these things outright, and he said these things right. And so we got to make sure that we're not just telling people what they want to hear, but we're telling them the truth of the gospel and what the gospel is. And we got to make sure that we're fighting for that. See, we're fighting ourselves because sometimes we kind of get in these moments where we're like, I just don't know what to say. Now, you do know what to say. You just don't want to say what you need to say. That's not true for you to say, I just don't know how to witness to the person. That's not true. You know what to say. You're just choosing not to say what you should say. And see, what happens is these people that want to hear tickling of ears, they want to hear these good things. That's exactly what the Bible, we'll just read the scriptures. I mean, it's right here. It says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers that suit their own passions. And here it is, listen to this. And will turn away from listening to truth and wander off into myths. Now, they're trading the truth for a lie. They're trading the truth for a lie, and that's exactly where Satan wants people to be. That they've traded the truth for a lie, and they no longer believe these absolute truths that we know are true because of Jesus. And what the scriptures say, they want to go off to hear something because that stuff's hard. It's hard. It's hard being a Christian. Amen? Well, John, that's not hard being a Christian. Maybe you're not doing it right. And we'll get to it in just a second when Paul says, hey, rejoice in the sufferings that you suffer because of Christ. Well, I'm not suffering. I'm just going about my day. Well, maybe we need to redo this deal. See, because the truth is they're going to turn away from those things and they're going to trade that truth for a lie, but then Timothy shifts gears Paul shifts gears right back to Timothy, right, to directly engage Timothy in this conversation. So he's kind of giving him some general advice here, right? But now he says, look, follow along in the scriptures right here is what he says in verse 6. That's not true. Verse 5, as for you. So, okay, we got this generalization up here before. Now we're going into verse 5, as for you, always be sober-minded. Now, please, let's not get this twisted for one second. John, the Bible says to be sober, okay? Listen. This is not that moment where Paul was in a discussion with Timothy about alcohol and drunkenness and is it okay if I have a beer with my friends at the dinner table? Is it? That's not what this is, okay? This is a moment, best way I can explain it. Parents, have you ever been in that moment where you're trying to teach your child something and you think that they got it, but then they don't got it? Okay, they don't got it. They don't get it. You know, it's like, okay. And then you do it again. And no, okay. And so then you do it again, and they're like, yeah, I got it, okay. All right. And let's just say it's a teenager. Let's just say it's a teenager. Rightfully so. And your teenager, you come home from finding out something that you thought that you had already settled with your child. And you get a phone call from someone, and the police are calling you on the phone, asking you questions. Hey, do you know where your son is? No, I don't know where my son is. Well, he's supposed to be at his friend's house. Oh, okay. Well, this is the Lexington Police Department. The Lexington what? We live in Simpsonville. And this is just a random scenario. I don't know if this is true to you. Like, some parents are probably like, do you know something about my son? John, you better tell me. Like, parents are going to stand up in the back. How'd you know about that? I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying that maybe the police get involved, and maybe there's a certain situation, and this is something that you've thought that you've gone over a million times in your head, and you get this clouded judgment just seeps into your brain, right? Something happens, and you literally begin to lose your mind on your child, right? You are going to bring them home, and you are going to beat them sideways. Are y'all with me on that deal? You wait till we get home. I am going to... You start talking through your teeth. You know when your parents talk through their teeth. You know, the kids are, y'all are like, okay, warning, right? Hey, does that make sense? Okay, everybody sit up. That means sit up. Sit up. So here's what happens, right? So we have this, I'm getting the clouded judgment right now. Like, I'm just going to jump off the stage and come over there and like grab you by your shirt, stand you up. That's right, yeah, patience. Thank you for the reminder. So you get this clouded judgment, and you begin to say things that you didn't mean to say, and you begin to do things that you didn't mean to do, and then you have to do damage control. Anybody with me on that? And so when Paul is talking to Timothy right here, he's saying, hey, man, I need you to be sober-minded. I need you to make clear decisions. I need you to be on top of your game. I need you to clearly make decisions and say the things that you need to say, okay? Not with clouded judgment. I need you to be sober-minded always, right? So pause and take a minute to make that decision. The second thing he says is endure suffering, right? Paul says that in 1 Peter 4:13, but I rejoice in so far as you, the Christ sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. I don't know about you, but I don't like suffering. And I don't want to consider it a joy when I suffer. And I don't rejoice in that suffering. Maybe you do. Maybe you're weird like that and you like to suffer. But I don't know very many people that like to suffer. And Paul is saying, hey, man, endure the suffering. You got to push through the suffering. Teenager, you got to push through the suffering, right? There's going to be more moments in your life where you have to push through. Right now, I know a lot of you are like, I'm so tired. Oh, my goodness. I'm ready to just go to bed. You got to push through it, right? Adults are like, eh. Hey, y'all know how many hours we pulled yesterday? Where's Larry? How many hours did we pull yesterday? At least 13 hours yesterday. Working here at the church doing stuff. I mean, like, these little chumps were like, I'm so tired. I'm going to go take a nap. You little bee rats. I'll tell you what, right? So we have to endure the suffering, right? We got to work through these things, right? Things aren't always going to go our way, Ash. Things aren't always going to go your way. They're not going to go your way. Get over it. Everybody else is in the same boat. We've got things that go our way, and we got things that don't go our way. You know what? We got to deal with life and what's thrown at us, right? It didn't work out, we move on. It didn't happen the way we wanted to, we move on, right? It's not the end of the world. A great missionary while we were in Africa told us, you will not die. We were complaining about it being 117 degrees outside. Ah, it's so hot. It's so hot. 117 degrees, that's hot. Y'all ever been to Africa in the desert and been straddling sheep and inoculating them, putting stuff in their mouth and like, duh. That's weird, right? We had to do that. And you had to wear pants. If you're a girl, you had to wear a long skirt. No shorts. I'm a shorts guy, if you don't know. I love wearing shorts. The only reason I'm wearing pants is because it's just, y'all would have a heart attack if I preached in shorts. And so I wear shorts all the time, and we go to Africa, and I'm like, yeah, man, we're going to get to wear shorts. And he's like, you got to wear pants. I'm like, no. And he told us, you won't die. And it's the same situation for us, man. When things don't go our way, you won't die. It's okay. I get it. Sometimes it's more devastating than other times, but the truth is the same, right? You're not going to die. You're going to have to endure that suffering and push through those things. Persevere. Get to the end, right? The other thing it says is that do the work of an evangelist. Matthew 28, right? Hey, let's go preach the gospel to people. That's what we're supposed to do. We've been charged that in the Bible over and over and over again. John, I just don't know what to say. You do know what to say. You do know what to say. You just don't want to say it. You're afraid that you're going to offend somebody. You're afraid that somebody's not going to like you. You're afraid that you're not going to have the right words if they come back with a question. You're going to be embarrassed if you don't know what to do. The Bible calls you to do this. Go and make disciples of all nations. Let me tell everybody. Black, white, brown, green, yellow, everybody. Not just what fits in your little subculture. I know that hurts, right? All people. And so Paul is telling him, he's saying, hey man, you need to go and do the work of an evangelist. And finally he says this, he says, fulfill your ministry. Do what God has called you to do and fulfill your ministry at whatever cost that is to you. Because in the end, you know that this war has been won already. You know because of Jesus' death on the cross, you have freedom and victory. You know that already about that. So you don't have to worry about the end. You just have to push through and fulfill your ministry of what God is calling you to do. Everybody in this room is being called to something completely different, possibly. Maybe you're called to something. I don't know what you're called to, but whatever it is that God has called you to, fulfill that ministry. Finish the job. Finish strong. Do what you're supposed to do, right? And finally, for all of his glory. Teenagers, we're so close. We're like within a minute, 30 seconds. So just stand, like, sit up. Hit her. Got one sleeping. This is sleeping. I'm not asleep. Finish the job, but we want to make sure that we do it for the Lord. Henceforth, there's laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. This is all about the glory of God. This is all about running a race for Jesus. This is all about finishing a race for his glory, not for mine, because the battle has been won. The war is over. We're just literally pushing through this waiting room, right? Because he's conquered death already. So really, in him, there's hope. In him, there's peace. And in him, there's life. And we fight that fight. And this daily battle that we have to struggle through, this daily battle that we have to go through is a fight. There are a lot of things in your life that you're going to have to fight. And there are a lot of things in your life that you don't know about. So the band's going to come out, come out, and begin to kind of get things ready, because we're going to have a little time of invitation. And maybe you're here and you don't know about fighting that fight. Maybe you're here because you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you're here and you're like, what do I do, John? Well, the Bible is clear. We have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to forgive us of our sins and accept him into our hearts as our Savior. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so forever and ever, because of what Jesus did on the cross, he's made a way for you and has given you the opportunity of life and hope and peace. And if you're in this room and you're struggling because you don't have peace and you feel like you don't have hope and you feel like you want to end it all, Jesus is your answer, and Jesus is the answer for all of those things. Drugs will never do it. Success will never do it. Money will never do it. Nothing will ever satisfy your soul. You will always be on a journey until you find Jesus, the filler of all of those things. And so students, as we are in this place, so as we're in this place and we're ending this weekend, you've got to fight. You're going to have to fight a lot of different things in your life, because it doesn't get easier. I know you think, as if I could just make it to a college, if I could just make it to be an adult, and I can promise you, every adult in this room would tell you, it gets harder. And without Jesus, you will fail. And then you'll, why did I do that? Why did I do this? Why did I not listen? Why didn't I just pay attention? Why didn't I just do this the first time? Ask adults who just got baptized. They'll tell you, man, if I would have just listened a long time ago, if I would have just found Jesus a long time ago and surrendered to him, my life today would be completely different. I got saved at 16 years old. And even just those 16 years, my life would be completely different if I knew then what I know now. And if I lived my life then like I live my life now. Adult, if you're here, you gotta fight. You gotta fight for your marriage. You gotta fight for your kids. You gotta fight for the things that you believe in the most. You gotta fight. You can't just lay down and leave it up to somebody else. Well, John, I've already served my time. I've already done my time in student ministry. Okay, listen, until the Lord calls you home, you're not done. Whether you're 6 or 60 or 600, I don't care, and neither does the Lord, because he wants you to fulfill your ministry. And if I'm looking at the Great Commission the way that we're all called to as believers, that go and make disciples thing, that's forever. So wherever you are, and whatever place you're in, you got to fight. You got to fight. So are you willing to do that? Maybe this morning you're here and you just need prayer. Steve will be up here. I'll be up here. I mean, you can grab somebody, grab one of your friends. It's okay, because we all need help. We all need prayer. We all have things that we're going through. Grab a friend. Grab a friend that you know that's struggling. Grab a friend that you know is dealing with something. Pray for your friend. Pray with your friend. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, we pray that you would do that. We pray that God would move in this time and that you would commit yourself to him. Maybe you're a believer and you're just struggling. You're just struggling with your relationship with Jesus. We pray that you would do work with him this morning. Let's pray. Father, you are a mighty God. And we pray that during this time of invitation that you would move, that salvation would be brought, that chains would be broken, God, that freedom would come to a congregation of people. Father, that you would help the hurting heart, that you would help the one that needs compassion, Father. You would give the one strength that needs strength to say what they need to say at their workplace or in their schools or wherever they are, Father. God, be with the teenager who's terrified. Who's terrified to talk about what God did in their life. But Father, that we would fight for you because you've already fought and won the battle over sin. And we praise you for that. God, we pray that you would do work during this time. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you guys would please stand and sing along with us.